Stand with me, please, and turn to Luke chapter 12 for our scripture reading. Luke chapter 12, and we'll read verse 22 down through verse 34. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spend not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again that we're able to meet in this place. We pray your blessing upon the word of God as it goes out. We pray that you will aid and empower our pastor as he breaks the word of God to us. We pray for those today who have been mentioned and those amongst our number and our loved ones. We pray for those who need healing and strength, and we pray that you would comfort them. We ask, Lord, that you just give us strength and guidance as we serve you. We serve in dark days, and we anticipate things may get worse, but we know that you are our Father, and you love us, and you care for us. And we pray that you might help us to serve you, to love you, and honor you, and put you above all things as we go forward. Bless our service now, and bless the pastor as he comes to preach. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me open a little bit of window into your pastor's life. Last Sunday, I preached message number 4 out of Luke 12, Beware of Spiritual Carelessness. And I went through the first 3 lessons and messages, Beware of Hypocrisy, Beware of Covetousness, and Beware of Worry. Now, before I preach that, I was trying to figure out, because it was clear back in January that I left this off, and then February we had the National Bible Publishing Month. And I was trying to figure out, now, where exactly did I leave off? And I knew I'd planned to preach Beware of Worry, but I couldn't find my outline. And I don't, in the computer, I don't keep this outline. I mail it to one that uses it and watches our service on the web. And so I mail it to them, and I don't even keep my paper outline. And I was thinking, did I not keep that? I know I was going to preach that. And so I go back, and I'm trying to figure out where this was. I think I even looked at the bulletin for that Sunday, and it had Be careful or beware, don't worry. Well, I must have preached it. I don't remember actually preaching it. I can't find the outline. So last week I decided not to preach on this subject, thinking, well, I must have preached it, just didn't keep it, and somebody will catch it. Well, I had a couple of people come to me and said, you know, we found the notes for the first and the second one, but we can't find the notes for the third one. We always take notes of all your sermon. And then it dawned on me The week I was going to preach it, and it was in the bulletin, is the week I got scurried off to Newark, New Jersey, and was gone that weekend. So finally, I got all the puzzles, pieces of the puzzle put together, and I'm preaching number three after I preach number four. So that's why we're backing up a little bit this morning. Christian, beware of worry. How would you like to have a worry-free life? Amen. I thought, let me try that again. I ought to get a few more amens than that. How would you like to have a worry-free life?
Amen.
That's what I thought. We would all like to have that. Now, no more worries about what you eat, what you need to wear, about your health, finances, friendship, marriage, family, old age, young age, the list goes on. No more worries. Politically, I'll throw that one in. That sounds incredibly unbelievable, if almost foolish, in its thinking. However, do you know for the believer, this is truly possible for every Christian? To have a worry-free life. Do understand this, that a worry-free life does not mean a life without planning. It doesn't mean a life without working. It doesn't even mean a life without adversity of some sort or the other. You see, our Heavenly Father, He planned all things before the foundation of the world. And Jesus said of His Father and Himself, "My Father worketh and I work." And then Jesus Christ was both tempted and then suffered the ultimate. And so we understand that a worry-free life is not this benign life that has no issues, no problems, and nothing going on like that. It is a godly life without worry. Here's some things about worry. To worry is to be mentally troubled and travailed over issues mostly that are out of our control. And as we worry, it is a mental thing. It is an issue of our thought life. It impacts us emotionally, and it can even impact us physically. Interesting, our English word worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word that literally means to strangle. Do you know that's what worry does? It strangles off your life. Worry in our thought life does to our life what a typhoon does to a ship on the tempestuous seas, leading somebody almost to shipwreck. Corrie ten Boom said this, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It only empties today of its strength." And that is a very aptly statement with that. It seems as though we can worry about almost anything. We can worry about our body. Too tall. Too short. Too fat. Too skinny. Wrong color hair. Too many freckles. Not enough pigment. And the list can go on and on. It's aging too fast. It's not aging fast enough. For those that are young and want to be taken serious, they wish they could look older. And then when older comes, they worry about looking old and wish they could look younger. Worry about the food. Now, my wife has justification to worry about her food. She does not like fish. And several years ago, we were in one of these buffet cafes. She asked me to fix her salad. And I went up there, and I was fixing her salad, and down into the middle, what was that fish? Pickled herring. I found a piece of pickled herring, and I kind of stuck it in her salad, then finished fixing her salad. And we were with other company, and she's eating and didn't see it, and in it goes, and it's, ugh. She was gracious. Endured it, but I heard about it. And she's never asked me to fix her salad since. But you know, we can worry about our food. We can worry about our clothing. And it talks about these two things of how people worry about things like this. We can worry about our life. How long do we have to live? How healthy am I going to be? What's going to happen? Psalm 39:5 tells us that it's in God's hand. He's in control of our life. In another place, it says that He has appointed every man to die, and our day is numbered. And so we can worry about our life. We can worry about our finances, which will be determining what we can get for shelter, what we can get for clothing, what we can get for food. We can worry about our relationships. We can worry about the ones we have. We can worry about the ones we don't have and wish we had. And the ones we have and wish we didn't have. And all of that. But you'll find that worry is typically with a greater focus upon the temporal issues of life, passing things, but not upon eternal values. This list of what we can worry for is as diverse as people are diverse. Worry is the chief means of self-destruction. You see, worry can destroy your emotions, and it can even destroy your health. The late chaplain of the U.S. Senate, Peter Marshall, once prayed in the chamber that ulcers would not become the badge of our faith. And you know, sometimes that's the way people think, in a strange way. People who have worried, suddenly they become emotionally distressed. And then when they become emotionally distressed, it can impact their health in many ways, and not good. You see, worry creates an unbiblical view of ourself, thinking that we really can control all things, and thinking that we have it in our power somehow. If we could control it, we would make our life better than what God makes our life. Because we're not trusting God, who's in control of all things, and we're not sure He knows exactly what we need, and we think we can do it better. Which then leads from an unbiblical view of ourselves to an unbiblical view of God, thinking that God is maybe not in control, but if He is in control, He's doing a bad job. And whatever He's doing, He's just not doing it right. And so worry is very self-destructive. Worry can rob you of your strength, of your energy, and even a godly confidence that is needed to forge forward in life. You see, worry can be so destructive that it can cause you to make bad choices with lifetime consequences. You can worry about you will get this or won't get that. This will happen or that won't happen. And we can worry so much so about it that all of a sudden we can make a bad choice that we have to live with the rest of our life, if we'd only been patient to wait until God brought it into our life. And so worry is a very destructive thing. Now, we also need to know that worry is sin. Now, I never heard an amen there. If I stood up here and I said, abortion is murder and it's sin. See, I got an amen. If I say immorality and the moral perversion of our day is sin and against God, I'd probably get an amen. And I say worry is sin and it's, oh my. But you see, within the context, he says in verse 28 at the last part, he says, oh ye of little faith. You see, worry has an emphasis on doubt and a lack of faith. Now turn to me to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. And now look at the last part of this verse. It deals with a subject matter, but within the subject matter, this truth is inserted there by God, and it's a prevailing truth. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Okay, let me try. I caught you off guard there. Let me back up and try that again. Whatsoever is not of faith is
sin.
Is worry of faith? No, it's of doubt. And so here we would understand that worry is sin. It is a sin of the young. It is a sin of the old. It is a sin of the saved folks as well as the lost. It is a sin that the wealthy practice as well as the impoverished. It is a sin of the unmarried and the married. I mean, it is a sin that anyone can become guilty of before God. Now, do understand, the Bible defines three categories of sin. One is the unpardonable sin. We understand that as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Then in another passage, it talks about the sin of immorality, that it is a sin against the body. And then everything else is just sin. Just sin. And every sin is an offense against God. And you know, we can become very angry and passionate about some of what we would call great sins and overlook what we might call lesser sins. And I'm not saying those are biblical terms for sins, but that's many times how we identify them. But see, sin in God's eyes is simply sin. So I want to give you some verses. I've got six different passages we're going to look at because I know that you want to have victory over any worry. This is, you know, you can be a preacher and worry. It's one I have to come back to God and get victory over from time to time. Isn't it so easy just to worry? But it can be just as easy to trust God. And so here's six verses that I believe are great answers. I didn't want to, as I was looking here, be careful, don't worry. I didn't want to simply just say, okay, worry's a sin and don't worry and how wrong it is. I wanted to give you some verses that'll encourage you as to how you can have victory over worry. Because every one of us, we are living in tumultuous times. And without our faith being solid and strong in our God, it would be very easy to worry. Just understanding the signs of the times that we're living in. Beyond that, some may be facing some financial challenges, life choices challenges. They may be facing some health challenges. They may be facing some family challenges. I mean, the list of challenges that are out there. And the opportunities for us to worry about the issues of life are everywhere in our life. And so I want to give you these six verses that it can encourage you and help you have victory over worry. The first one is Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And here's the first thing that I believe we need to believe with all our heart is God loves you. God loves you. When we begin to worry and frustrate and be anxious over-consumed with what may or may not happen and all of this, somehow we lose the fact that God really does love us. And we think that God's trying to get even with us, that God doesn't care about us. Whatever it is, I believe one of the first things that we need to understand, no matter what you're facing in life, God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to lay His life down on Calvary's tree to, by substitute, pay your sin penalty so that all you have to do to receive salvation and pardon and eternal life, all you have to do is see yourself as a sinner unworthy of God's salvation, confess your sin, and put your faith in Jesus Christ. He made it so simple that even a child that can't understand all of the theology of the Bible can simply understand that Jesus loves them and can save them. He made it so simple in salvation that a person that is simple-minded But yet they can understand what love is, and they can understand what forgiveness is. He made it so simple that they could be saved. He made it so simple that the utterly impoverished would not have to buy it, but they could receive it as a gift. He made it so readily available that the one that is a paraplegic or quadriplegic that has no ability to work and earn somehow by good works their salvation, God made it so easy that they could receive eternal life. That's how much God loves us. Now, you can work, but you don't have to work for your salvation. You can earn a dollar, but you don't have to pay for your salvation. I think everybody here is comprehensive enough. You can understand, except maybe the youngest. But even at that, he made it simple for everybody. He loved us so much that he made it that simple. The second verse I want you to realize and remember is 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him. Help me with the last part. For he careth for you. God cares about you. I don't know how many times I've heard this. Well, God cares about everybody else, but he doesn't care about me. You know, that's a lie. That's maligning the character of our God. God cares about every individual. I love our children. I care about our children. Learning about Adam's diagnosis and cancer has been one of the harder issues I have had to deal with emotionally in my life over the course of years. Because I love them and I care for them. But do you know what? God loves him more than I can. Not necessarily more than I want to, but more than I simply can. And God cares for him more than I can begin to care for him. And not only that, but God loves you and God cares for you more than a parent can love you or care for you. No matter how loving and how caring, in a godly way, a parent can love or care, our God loves you and cares for you above and beyond measure. And so when we see the issues of life coming through our life, no matter what it is, whether it is touching us, whether it is touching our family, we know that God loves us and God cares more than we can care. When we begin worrying and when we begin submerging in worry, we begin thinking that God doesn't love us as much as he said he did and does, or that he cares about us personally, specifically, as much as the Bible says. We malign his character and his nature. Even though we don't do that intentionally, and we don't want to do that. So those are the first two verses that I think we need to remember, is that God loves you and that God cares for you. And I think those are represented in the passage that we read. And he's making the contrast between the ravens and how he feeds the ravens and the lilies of and how he clothes them and makes them so beautiful. As Pastor Garner was reading through and about the lilies and how they are so beautiful. I remember the different times that I've trekked up the Long's Peak trail. Now, full disclosure, I've never made it to the top. Some occasions, I think I would have if who I was with could have made it. At least I try to tell myself that. The last time or two, it wouldn't have made any difference who I was with. But one of the things that I thought was fascinating is as you get up into that higher country, flowers shrink in size. And there's some flowers that are about the size of an eraser on a wooden pencil. And I had taken pictures, and then I would take my phone and expand them. And even in the minuteness of that flower, the miniature detail, when you expand it, and the little detail in those tiny flowers is phenomenal. Absolutely beautiful. Do you know, if God can take care of them and give them the beauty and the adorning like that, we know that God cares and loves us and will do the same. Then a couple of other verses. Let's look at these. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. And it's the little words that make the big difference. In here we read, according as his divine power hath given to us, he's talking to us as believers, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. You see that little three-letter word, all? This is why word-for-word perfection of our Bible is so important. It didn't say some, it didn't say many, it didn't say much, it didn't even say a little, it said all. But that he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Here's another verse that goes with it. You see, God has given us all things that we need for life. But turn back to Romans chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8, verse 32. And here's another incredible verse by our God. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's not stingy. We don't have a stingy God. Not only does he give us everything we need for life and for godliness. And understand this, if there's sin in your life, it's never God's fault because he's given you everything you need to have victory over that sin. He's given us everything we need for godliness in our life, but he's also given us everything we need in life. And not only has he given it to us, he has freely given. And to think that the Father who would give his only begotten Son to lay his life down, the ultimate gift that he has given, to think that he would not give us in little things, the things that we need in our life for living, again, is a malignment of the character and the nature of God. And so when we have all of these issues, we wonder if we're going to have this and wonder if we're going to have that and worry about this or worry about another thing. Remember, God gives us everything we need for life and he gives it freely. In Romans 8, 28, God gives us what is good for us. You know, sometimes we want that which is not good for us. It may be good in and of itself, but it may not be good for us right now. He will give to us what is good for us. Let me give you a personal application. In the process of our churches coming together, and we have the building for sale, and there will be a chunk of the money that will come into the accounts of Foothills Baptist Church after the retirement is funded and expenses are all paid. And it'll be a larger chunk of money than what our church has ever dealt with, either church, maybe ever. And one of the things, you know, I've had this, Lord, let's get this sold. Let's get this done. Let's move this right now. And let's finish it. Lord, you can give us that full price. But do you know, Obviously, God did not think the full price in the first month was good for our church family. You know, a church can really walk with God and do things with God. But then a chunk of money is given to a church, and all of a sudden, some hurtful things can happen. Now, God can give us this large chunk of money, and I believe He will. But I think He's wanted us to grow together and be spiritually ready to handle it for His glory. And maybe why it didn't happen, you know, the first crack out of the box. If you don't think you needed to grow a little to be ready for this, maybe the Lord thought your preacher needed to grow a little. I don't know. But you see, God gives us every good thing when we need it. And not only that, in giving to us, He gives us everything in such a way that we can glorify Him. 2 Corinthians 4:15, all things can abound, is the word there, to the glory of God. Everything that comes through our life, we can use to glorify God. And so He gives us everything freely. It'll be good for us, and it'll be an opportunity to glorify God. Then Philippians 4:6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That's don't worry about it. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay, here's the answer here. God will give victory over worry, and He'll do it through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. When we have that kind of a spirit within us, when we are hit, and this is kind of reflecting off what Dr. Coomer has taught us when he's been here, when we are hit with some event or some concern or some issue, that we will have a choice. Are we going to worry about it, or are we going to trust God for it? When that point comes into your life, stop, pray. Find something to thank God for and praise God for, and then what are we supposed to do? Turn it over to God. Just turn it over to God and trust Him. You see, when we take it away from God, we're saying we don't trust You to deal with it. But turn it over to God. I've dealt with people that have had some really bad issues that are out of their control, and it has to deal with people. And when I get to that point of saying, okay, you need to pray, and just turn them over to God and let God deal with them. What if God doesn't deal with them? I can do a better job, you know. But you know, when it comes to issues that we're inclined to worry about, we can almost take that same attitude, and we have to be careful at that point of impact. And if that impact keeps coming back and keeps coming back, do the same thing. Find something to pray and thank God for and to praise God for, and then just turn it over to God and go on about your life. God will take care of it. And do you know what? He'll always take care of it right. God never messes up. Like I do sometimes. God gives us victory over worry when we focus upon eternal values as opposed to temporal values. Back in our context, this is what he is talking about in verses 29 through 34. He's saying all of these things are temporal values. If you would stop focusing on the temporal and begin focusing on the eternal. This leads me to one more worry that is not so temporal but eternal. It is, where will I spend eternity when I die? If you are not born again, or if you're not certain about your eternal destiny, you should be overwhelmingly worried. You have a justifiable cause for that. Because whoever is not born again, when this life is over, will spend an eternity in hell. where the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. We used to brand with the hot iron, and we did it old school. We would get the calf, and we'd have the holders, one on the tail end and one on the head end, and we would hold them down. And as we would hold, and when I would hold the head, and they would hit the calf with the branding iron, many a times you could hear the calf just gritting its teeth. I always thought of this verse, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's probably nothing in compared. And so, yes, if a person is not born again, there is a great deal to be worried about. For your life is but a vapor. Once you die, there is no second chance and no change. But you see, God has given us another verse, and it's called 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And he's told us how. We need to understand that we are sinners and we can't fix it ourselves. We need to understand that. And we need to come by repentance of our sin and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when we have, there's a time and point that this happens in our life. We're not saved progressively, we're saved instantaneously. The thief on the cross was saved instantaneously. He didn't have a lot of time to work on it. We're saved instantaneously. And then 1 John 5:13, these things have I written that ye may know. It is a know-so for certain understanding that we're born again, we're a child of God, and we have an eternity in life. Everyone without Christ as Savior does have a great deal to worry about, and the only remedy for that is repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ unto salvation. By contrast, for every believer, you can truly live worry-free and do so through faith in Jesus Christ in a daily living faith. Believe God at His Word. He loves you. He cares for you. He provides for you and directs the course of your life. When you're tempted to worry, just simply stop, pray. Think of something that you can thank Him for and praise Him for, and then turn the issue over to God. This will dynamically change your life. It will dynamically change how you make decisions. And it will increase the peace and the joy that God intended for every believer to experience. There's a little old song, a little old saying, why worry when you can pray? And so many have changed it to, why pray when you can worry? God loves you and He cares for you. Father, we come to You this morning. And this is something that every one of us can become so guilty of so quickly and so easily. And so, Father, I pray that You will take these great verses and they will become our allies from Your Word in our relationship to You, that it will cast doubt out and strengthen our faith in a wonderful, loving, caring God. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.